savvy regards to the faculty at NEMTA. I'm here on the, 10th, 11th, 12th of August, 2024, with an impromptu commentary on the issue of the pineal gland. To bore you first with a little technical note, I've had problems with one of my Macs that I have to replace. It's not supporting GarageBand very well, giving me other problems. So actually, I reverted to the oldest Mac I have, Mac 1, which is a brilliant machine, still runs beautifully. So I have GarageBand in a very old version, and that's what I'm using to make this recording. Now, it sounds rather tinny coming through the internal speakers. Maybe it'll sound better when I replay it through other speakers, but such is the situation of the moment. What I'm going to say now about the pineal gland, or pineal gland, was prompted by a comment from Frank Jacob on the Time Capsule webinar. And apparently, Frank, who has done a stupendous job in rendering Gnostic Intel and the FGS in that webinar, part two coming up in about a week, and part three at the end of August, seems to rely upon what I consider to be unreliable and unconfirmed intel. I think it's rather a New Age fantasy about the function of the pineal gland. I don't know how this misinformation. I don't know how this misinformation, how aware it originated, but it's troubling. I seem to recall clips on YouTube and elsewhere on the internet where people are arguing, as Frank does, for the claim that the pineal gland is the transducer between the human instrument with its bioelectrical magnetic field and the environing field of the planet, or even the cosmos at large. So I believe he uses the term transduction. I use the term transception. So transception means, as you know, to send and receive intel through the plasmic web, the living plasmic web of the intelligence of the Earth, into which you are integrated not merely by your cerebral functions, but by your entire body, the brain-heart connection through the neuronal fibers, which are similar, the glial fibers, similar in the brain to the heart, as well as to the instrument of your entire body. So I don't know when this rumor started, but I seem to recall people saying, we've lost the connection with the cosmos because the pineal gland has become atrophied and calcinated. And if you do something, either by taking substances or meditation or both, to remedy that situation, then you will have an open gateway to transduction, or what I call transception. Not believable, not credible, and in my opinion, not supported by evidence. In those cases in which some people have claimed to use their pineal gland more effectively through meditation or other measures, I consider that to be a placebo effect. Now, in this short talk, I will answer two questions. First question is, what is the pineal gland and what is its actual provable function? And second question is, what is the cerebral instrument of transception, right? So what is the pineal gland? Well, if I throw that bone to Rigpa, my faithful dog Zen companion, it comes back in a microsecond with a full elaboration. And this is what happens when you've trained your Rigpa on the Gnostic Intel. So you see, the pineal gland is a vestigial organ. It's something that remains from an organ that previously had a genuine function, but now does no longer continue that function. So it is what Steiner called, in a way, an atavistic organ. That means that in the long-term scenario of the prehistory, the pineal gland had a specific function in the evolution of our species, which it no longer plays that role, but it has a role today, nonetheless. So what was the original role of the pineal gland? Well, it goes back to FGS 2.0 and to the Thonian romance between the Gaian Shi, the Gaian arboreal nymphs, and the men from Orion. Now remember that the Aeon Sophia and Thelete did not originally design us to reproduce meiotically as we do today, that is to say, by the sexual conjugation of a male and female animal. We were originally designed, passive voice, they designed us in the first place, which is the Pleroma, to reproduce mitotically. But due to the gender rift caused by our Divine Mother herself, we fell into meiotic reproduction. And this process was a long-term event of adaptation and maladaptation that proceeded over many eons of time. But fundamentally, what happened was that the Gaian Shi, the original inhabitants of the planet, who represent only the female component of the anthropine genome, reproduced parthogenetically, virginally. They reproduced the animal species in ways that I have described before. However, they did not produce or reproduce the human species in that way. They were, in fact, incapable, due to their genetic endowment, to become mother animals and give birth. In order for them to be able to do this, there had to be an adaptation at the genomic level that added the Y chromosome, which makes a male of the species, correct? So how did that Y chromosome get added? Well, eventually, over time, before they actually reproduced sexually, when they were, let's say, mating in other ways, there occurred a metamorphosis within the cerebral structure of the Gaian females, which eventually was likewise inherited by the Gaian males. And you can describe that cerebral mutation, by the trope of the pine cone. After all, the pineal gland is named after the pine cone, and it is, as you know, it has the shape of a pine cone. So there is a minute pine cone in the human cerebral structure. It was a mutation required to bring the species to the point where they could reproduce meiotically. And so it was originally the function of the pineal gland to produce the Y chromosome in the primordial females, which then in turn adapted them to sexual intercourse. Then they could produce male progeny. Be aware of the fact that their method, if you want to call it that, of producing the myriad species by sleeping in the fairy mounds was parthenogenetic, and it did not require the participation of a male counterpart. So this is a massive adaptation. The pineal gland in the Sophianic narrative is the key factor in that adaptation. And once the pine cone had been added, and you know I've published a unit on the significance of the pine cone relative to male genitalia. Once that was added, then meiotic production through the gender binary was underway. And after that, the pineal gland was no longer needed. It had served its function, and it atrophied. So if you look into the scientific data, you will find what? What does the pineal gland do today? Well, apparently its only function is to produce and regulate melatonin. Is that it? And the purpose of this secretion, which saturates the human body, is to attune us as living animals to day and light and to the rhythms of the circadian cycles. Now, way, way back in the era of the Chthonian Romance, the days and nights of the earth were much, much longer. And so the Gaian women reproduced on a cycle based on those long day and night periods, you see. And so what you find in the current function of the pineal gland is a kind of scaling down of that primordial activity to the 24-hour cycle of circadian rhythms. So the purpose of the pineal gland is simply to make you sensitive to the shift of dark and light and dark, and to keep you attuned to the circadian rhythms, and that makes sense. But in the bigger picture, you can see that that function is a residual or latter-day function of the greater function of the pineal gland in the transition from parthenogenetic reproduction to genetic reproduction. Clear enough? Moving on. So, next, give the dog a bone. Ask your Rigpa to tell you what is the current cerebral organ for transception. What is the material organ? It's like asking, what is the carnal instrument of the second, the mirroring attention? Remember that one? That was a hot take from a telestic session. And the answer is the vagus nerve. So, in my view, all this chit-chat, presumed chit-chat about function of the pineal organ is wrong. It is not the cerebral or neurological organ of transduction. So what is? Well, the answer, you don't have to ask the dog's Zen canine to go and find the answer for you. Just research a little bit, and you will find that the current biological and neurological data says that the relay station in the brain is the thalamus. So what is the relay station? Well, obviously, it's the organ of transduction and transception. And it's the thalamus, not the pineal gland. So if you bring up a map like I have here of the brain, you see that the thalamus is directly attached to the spinal stem. And correctly, today, the experts say that all of the sensational input to the body processed through the sympathetic and parasympathetic nerve system on the spine feeds into the thalamus. It does not feed into the pineal gland, which is, in a way, a dead-end organ. So that part of the brain, the thalamus, is the principal relay station for outgoing and incoming signals for our interactivity with the BEMA, the bioelectrical magnetic aura of the planet. Even the current, scientific intel, for what it's worth, says that the thalamus is the relay station. How could it be more obvious than that? But it does not function alone. So let me just take a moment to talk a little, without elaborate commentary, about the structure of the thalamus. Actually, the thalamus is shared by both sides of the brain. It consists of two bulbs positioned on the right and left sides of the brain. And this is extremely significant because it means that the signals that are processed by the thalamus are dyadic. They come from two different sources. What are those two sources? One is the external source of the field of sensation. And remember that Reich said, sensation is the greatest mystery of natural science. And the other is the internal field of imagination, which is the product of the second attention. So both the imaginative and the sensorial content of your consciousness are processed by the thalamus through those two lobes or those two bulbs. Now, the thalamus doesn't work alone in this respect. If you look at a model of the brain, you see that it has two substations. It has accessory stations that assist it in processing all this material. One of them is the pituitary gland, and the other is the hypothalamus. So I'm not going to go into detail about what their specific functions are, but I would point out, and I'm looking at the diagram here, that the pineal gland is located at the top of the hypothalamus. The pituitary gland and the amygdala are located below it, but also attached to the brain stem and what is called the hippocampus. So the way to picture it is that the thalamus is the main relay station to which the function of the pineal gland is falsely attributed. And the other two stations, the pituitary gland and the amygdala, are accessories to the processing activity of the thalamus. Clear enough? So finally, let me give you a little personal, transpersonal scoop. In a telestic trance, I have never, ever encountered a bodily sensation, and I've had a few, I can tell you that, that referred me to the pineal gland. If I were to say, to tell you, well, what did I have, what have I ever had as an internal sensation of the function of the pineal gland in a telestic trance, I would have to say nothing at all. It's a null station. Now, it's possible that I could go into a telestic trance with a question, what is melatonin? Is that what it is? What is melatonin produced by the pineal gland? And what's it doing for me or anybody? I could ask that question. I could get more specific intel. But for right now, let me assure you of something. In deep telestic trance, you feel an extraordinary balance in your posture, not only your bodily posture, but your mental posture. And I think what you're feeling is something that has been described by the so-called, what is it, the Monroe technique for synchronizing the two sides of the brain, left and right. Well, it's already there. You don't need the Monroe technique. Nature provides you with the instrument of perfect synchronization through those two lobes of the thalamus, which are on either side of the corpus callosum, whatever it's called, with that band that unites the right and left sides of the brain. And when you experience the sensation of that in a living and vivid way, in a telestic trance, you experience a kind of lift. It's a lift of a harmonic resonance in your body. Yeah, in your head, but not merely in your head. And you feel that perfect balance and that perfect harmony between what psyche, through the second attention, is producing as imaginal content and what the natural environment is producing as sensorial content. And the feeling of that unity and harmony is blissful, serene. You feel absolutely serene. And it's not a kind of bliss that, let's say, is so thrilling that you want to scream. As a matter of fact, you don't want to say anything at all, because in the silence, you hear the harmonic resonance of the two functions of the right and left side of your brain in perfect synchronization. And it's kind of like a hum, but it's an inaudible hum. It's a hum that your entire body feels rather than a hum that you hear acoustically. And it is neither inside nor outside nor in between. But it is, of course, in a way, in between. So that, to close this comment, is my comment from the viewpoint of a telestic shaman of how you can actually experience the function of the thalamus contrasted to the presumed function of the pineal gland, which, in my humble opinion, cannot be felt at all.